Last week, activists joined Richmond Mayor Gail McLaughlin outside the Chevron annual shareholders meeting in San Ramon. They were protesting what they say is the negative effect the company's having on local Richmond communities, like pollution and the 2012 pipeline blast, and worldwide in countries in which it operates. Globally, activists and journalists are holding big oil accountable. In some countries, like Nigeria, they're up against not only the oil companies, but also the governments. Musukilo Mojeed is a Nigerian investigative journalist who's been reporting on his country's oil sector for over a decade, risking his safety to uncover massive corruption at the highest levels of government. He's now at Stanford University on a one-year fellowship where he's learning how to create an online database that'll allow journalists in Nigeria to access government files more freely. Mojeed came by our KALW studios where he first told me about the dangers of being an investigative journalist in Nigeria.
In 2011, when we did a reporting about the massive corruption in our oil industry.
In the oil industry,
in
right?
In the oil industry, oil and gas industry. And at a point, we were almost killed. You know, we find people we believe were agents of government, of the officials in our oil and gas industry, oil and gas ministry and all of that, trailing us. And we had to go underground for a while. After a while, the police started chasing us too. They wanted us to come explain why we did this story.
Because you were exposing some high top officials, weren't you?
Yeah. Mm. So now we vacated the office for a while. We avoided our office for a while, my team and I. And then they wrote asking me to report to the police headquarters in Nigeria's capital. In fact, a police commissioner was put in charge of the case. And a police commissioner in Nigeria is a very top rank in the Nigerian police. And I didn't show up because I was warned by insiders in the police that if I show up, I will be detained. So my newspaper decided I shouldn't show up, that our managing editor was going to show up. When she did show up, she was detained.
Mm, so that was going to happen to you?
That was going to happen to me. But she was released afterward at the end of the day. But if I had shown up, it would have been different. So I had to.
So you know, investigative journalism, you know, exposing people in the oil industry, in the petroleum industry. Yeah. You've won awards for this work. But also, you know, it seems from what you're saying, you were at times fearful for your life after, you know, all these people are chasing you and trying to lure you to the police station. What makes you take that risk? What is it about this that you're willing to risk your life to do it?
When you look at the situation of my country, especially, I've told you that Nigeria is the sixth largest producer of oil in the world. And this is a country that has made perhaps more than $500 million, far more than, since the 70s. But today, Nigeria is one of the poorest countries in the world. You know, this is a country where just a very irritating poll by The Economist said, this year, Nigeria is the worst place for a child to be born, you know? And this is a country where people are really poor in the midst of plenty. And why is that the case? Because a lot of the resources of our country is stolen by our leaders. And I just felt, you know, my sense of social justice that this is wrong. Somebody must do this job. We must, whether they listen or they don't listen, we must keep writing about it. I feel that is the only contribution I can make to my country and the only legacy I can leave. If I'm able to expose these guys and write about them, then I will die a happy man.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm speaking with Musukilo Mojeed, a Nigerian investigative journalist and Stanford fellow. So let's talk about your work. Much of your reporting has been uncovering official corruption, especially in the oil sector, as you mentioned, for which you won the award, the Forum for African Investigative Reporters Editors Courage Award. So can you let me know what kind of things did you uncover for that reporting?
The presidential election was coming, and then we got a tip that the government, through the minister, that the president, through the minister, was getting bribed from the guys who were importing gasoline for us. So at that time, they were releasing licenses, papers for people to export, to import product into Nigeria. So now they set up a scheme, a very fraudulent scheme. As you go pick up your paper, your license to import, you are expected to pay a certain amount of bribe to officials, which they said the president wanted for his election, for his campaign. So what we did, once we got that tip, what we did was that we also formed like a sham company. Not that we registered the company, but we came up with the name of a company. They were so reckless that they got a front man who takes the bribe and then delivers to the officials of government. So all you need to do is to call him and say, look, I'm from so-and-so company. My company has
the made-up
license.
Company. You made it up.
Yeah, so we made up a company and we set up a team and we called him. We called the front man to say, our company has been given license to import 50,000 liters. How much are we supposed to pay? And he said we were supposed to pay $8 per barrel, per gallon or something. So which came to about maybe more than $50,000 or something. So we were recording him. We were talking to him on phone, and then we met him. And we recorded all of that. And we realized that everybody who got their allocation paid the same amount of bribe. So by the time we published that, with all the audio, with all the video, then it opened a floodgate of information for us. Then we got information about how these guys were taking oil blocks and awarding to themselves, violating Nigeria's law, how they were setting up companies, how they were even allocating contracts, how the minister allocated contracts she gave a license to somebody to import Nigeria's crude, somebody who had never done it before, in violation of Nigeria's law. You understand? Somebody who had no experience became the biggest lifter of Nigerian crude. So we uncover quite a lot of stuff, very mind-boggling corruption in our oil and gas industry.
So what are you learning? What did you learn on this Stanford Fellowship that will help you when you go back home?
I realized over time that a lot of documents about the operation about Nigeria are available, even online. But Nigerian reporters don't even know how to source them. So what I'm doing, like a one-stop shop, creating an online platform where a lot of links, you know, putting Nigerian reporters in touch, you know, connecting them with the kind of resources, with the kind of document they need to report Nigeria authoritatively, the kind of document, the kind of resources they need to hold the Nigerian government, individuals and even corporations accountable.